If you haven't figured out, today is Fusion Youth Day. Unless you just thought, yeah, they've been doing a good job, haven't they? We're going to continue. I've asked Jacob and Noah to come up and help me teach today. Oh, it's a microphone. Don't be afraid. And we're going to talk about some things that we talked about as a youth group a few months ago. And we really had a lot of good discussion. I thought it'd be something kind of cool to talk about because I think it's something that every age group deals with, rather regardless of age, whether you're a teenager or dad, mom, grandma. And that's the issue of perfection. The issue of perfection. There's a lot in this world that tells us to be perfect. And there's a lot of things in this world that tells us that you're supposed to be that people are perfect who really aren't. And I know that you probably are very familiar with Photoshop. Yeah, Photoshop. It takes away the pounds for those, you know, poor models who are size one that they have to get down to zero. For the guys who need to bulk up a little bit for their photo op. Now, there's some things in those Photoshop things that are really cool, because I remember in high school, when you did the pictures, you could have them touched up, so you can have all your acne erased. Anybody else have that done? I'm going to confess that right now. Amen. Everybody's like, who is this guy? Because this is not Jason. So, but perfection. So what I want to start off, and we're going to just kind of have a conversation up here and talk a little bit. And start off by talking about what makes you guys, Noah, Jacob, what makes you feel the pressure of being perfect?
I'm going to start with saying that there's a lot of things that make us feel pressure to be perfect in our world. And that's kids and adults and everybody, from being just old enough to know how to walk and crawl, to being pressured to your first word being mom or dad, which one that's going to be, to being in high school and getting good grades and getting a good diploma and being set up for college, to being an adult and setting up for retirement and not losing your job because you slept in every day last week and things like that. That kind of
all that at 16.
Yeah, wow. So it's pretty. It can be really stressful sometimes to be pressured.
So you're already thinking about retirement.
Okay.
Good.
401k.
Awesome. That's
yeah.
Good.
So there's a couple things, but the biggest things, especially for a teenager at my age, is our parents. You know, our parents are the ones that are the big bad bullies half the time, that are always telling us not to do this and not to do that because we're gonna get hurt, and we need to have good grades, and that, you know, getting in trouble with the police is a bad thing, which it is, but. We are pressured by our parents in good ways, too. Our parents push us in school because we do need a good education. We, as much as we get home from school and say, wow, that was a really long, stressful day, I don't want to get up and go to school the next morning, we still do, but really, we're pressured to do that. We're pressured to go to school and get good grades, and we do. You know, we realize through their guidance as we mature that their guidance really means something, and so that's a big thing. It's a good push to be what we say is perfect in school, and that's a big thing. And our second thing is in school ourselves, not only our parents, but our teachers and everybody, they all push you. Get good grades, put in the study time, and that's a big thing. And also, even in extracurricular activities, like just in a random example here, biking. When we go out and biking, I like to bike, and when I go out and I say, wow, that's a big jump, I want to jump it, and I think, man, I'm going to jump this and clear it because I've been putting in the laps and I'm great. And I jump it, and 5 seconds later, I'm on my face. So that makes you feel just a little bit less than perfect. And so even extracurricular activities can make you feel less than perfect.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody caught the Oregon-Utah game last night. It was like,
no,
nobody did. Okay, so... There's a tie-in, I promise. In the Oregon-Utah game, Utah guy had the ball and he just blew by all the defenders. It was just a walk into the end zone, and in his excitement for his celebration, at about the half yard mark, he threw the ball into the air like, "Yeah, I scored a touchdown." and he's high-fiving his friends, and they're all celebrating. The other team scooped the ball up because it's still in play and ran it all the way back for a touchdown. So that's a good example of extracurricular activity there, less than perfect. Almost perfect, not quite. Well, Noah, what about you? What makes you feel less than perfect?
For me, school makes me feel less than perfect because you've got 6 or 7 classes a day, and each teacher wants you to, you know, do homework for, you know, 30 minutes to an hour of homework each night. So then it's like you get home, and, you know, you don't really want to do the homework, but you want to do really well in the class, and you've got to study for tests and stuff like that. And then if you don't do well in a class, it makes you feel less than perfect. And, you know, then you got, like he said, extracurricular activities after school and stuff like that that you want to do, but you may not have time for because you've got, you know, the homework that you've got to focus on so that you can do well in the classes.
Yeah, I always, if we have any teachers in the room, I'm sorry, but I always thought it was interesting they always use red. Like, I feel like I'm getting cut, like I'm bleeding on this paper. Like, my paper's bleeding. Do you ever feel that way?
No, but
that's a good answer. Is that a good observation? I had a lot of red on my paper. That might have been why.
So. It was bleeding through.
It was bleeding through. Yeah, because it was like not only did you not get perfect, but it was like we're going to show you, and then everyone around you can see it because they can see red. I think that's why they do it in red. So.
Red is an aggressive color.
Red is aggressive. Yeah, teachers are aggressive. That's good. All right. I don't think that's what we're supposed to say, but that's okay.
Just keep going.
It's okay. I asked you to be honest, so you're being honest. I appreciate it. Well, being perfect, you know, what does the Bible have to say that about that? Well, in the word for Hebrew for perfect is the word tamim, and it's translated to be perfect, and it means to be whole and complete or full. And so when God, and we're going to talk about this in just a minute, is if the world is telling us to be perfect and things in our life makes us feel like we should be perfect, what it's saying is that we should be complete and we should be whole and we should be full. But ironically, the things that the world is trying to tell us that we need to be perfect, whether it's that right drink or the right cigarette or the right car or the right job or the right school, interestingly enough, as soon as we pour ourselves into those things, we find out that they're empty. It's just the opposite. It's not complete. It's not full. And matter of fact, they know it too because next year, guess what? The updated version of that comes out. And this time of year always cracks me up because the new car models come out. And don't get me wrong, there's some really cool cars that are coming out now. But they're basically still four wheels and some seats and a motor, and it gets you from A to B. Now, they may talk to you or communicate and Bluetooth and satellite link up and all that kind of stuff, but they are still going to come out with a new version next year because it's still not complete. It's not perfect. So if you are going to try to draw perfection from the world, you're going to find yourself just the opposite of what the Bible tells us. So one of the things that the Bible tells us is that we have a lot of things that we can do. You know, you get the guys, both of you mentioned school, and you mentioned, you know, the police, which we do have a state trooper here today, so I'm sure he can come up and tell you the reason why you shouldn't be jumping over the road like that. So we have rules, and we have regulations in this life, and schools are full of rules and regulations, right? Because you have detention if you break them, or expulsion. Yeah. You guys ever been to detention?
Can we? No, have you, Jason?
I had served some detention, yes.
They don't do detention anymore.
They don't do detention anymore?
Saturday school.
Do they still have beatings? I mean, spankings?
No.
They don't? Man, I wish I was in school. I could have got by with a lot more stuff. I was nearly perfect. I had a special desk. It's a true story.
He was on an island.
It was on an island. It was not on an island, sort of. All the other school, if you ever go into, now, old school classrooms, modern classrooms not quite the same, but if you guys were in school like before 95, you remember like school, that the teacher had their desk up front and all the other classroom was in the rest of the room, right? But I had a special desk. Mine was always next to the teacher's desk until like fifth grade. And my mom came in for parent night and she's like, where's your desk? And she went immediately up to the teacher's desk. And I go, no, I'm in the rest of the room. She's like, cried. She's like, oh, my boy's growing up. But one of the things I had troubles with was rules. And what we find, Jacob, is rules don't make us perfect, do they?
Rules are, well, in the flesh, in society is a great example. Rules aren't making us inside better as people. Especially, this is a great example. Society, they want order and they want peace and security. And that's what our rules are off of. All the rules with the law enforcement are meant to keep peace and security. And that's what we go off of. That's what we base our flesh lives off of, is this order, peace, and security that society wants us to be in. That's society's rules. Society doesn't make us better just because we follow what the society wants us to do, whether it's trends or whatever. They don't make us better people. They don't make us. They definitely don't make us more perfect in God's eyes. And a lot of times, they can make us more farther away from God than we want to be in our lives. And the rules don't make us perfect. You know, our parents, they want us to go in the right direction in life, like we talked about. And this is a little bit less heavy of an example, considering that every parent is different with their child. But for any parent, the rules that they give us help us to, on a smaller scale, stay in line, make good choices, and go in a right direction in life, and stay clean, and go in a clear path, and do well. And that makes us more prepared for our lives as Christians and as people just in our country with jobs and everything. But still, it doesn't make us perfect in, you know, as people. Our laws don't make us perfect. And Hebrews 7:19 actually says that almost perfectly, which is a great way to reference it. It says, "For the law made nothing perfect. A better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God." So the law doesn't make us perfect, but a better hope is introduced to us in our walk with Christ. That is our biggest, and that supports us right there. And we draw off of that instead of our rules, and we draw near to God in our lives. That's a big thing. So our rules don't make us perfect, but God does.
Yeah, you know, Jake, when you say that about we have parents, we have law enforcement, we have all these laws that people give us. It's interesting that laws change. Mm-hmm. There's laws, you know, that's this last Tuesday in many states there are referendums about laws being changed. And related to illegal drugs and who can get married, who can't get married, things that, you know, growing up when I was raised, that there would never have been a question, but yet we can introduce those laws. So man's laws change, but God's laws don't, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You got to use the microphone. Thank you, Ken.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. That's, yeah. Our laws in society do change over time. You know, we have different people pass through, and different people have their own views of what's perfect in society. People, not everybody's the same. In the flesh, we're all different. We all have different views, and that is one of the biggest things that we face with our laws. How can we be perfect if perfect is always different? So that's a big thing.
Because our laws are made by man, and all men are different. And so if I was to set you up as the example, then perfection should look like you. If I set up like Noah or myself or whoever we pick. But we actually have an example, an example that was perfect. And that perfect person was Christ. And Noah, tell us about how Jesus works to make us perfect.
Well, like Jacob said, rules can't make us perfect. We have to let Jesus live through us, and we have to be like, in his image, and he sacrificed himself so that we would be perfect in God's eyes, so that we would ascend into heaven, and we just need to let him live through us, and just we need to act like him, basically, because he was perfect. So
but how did he make us perfect, Noah?
He sacrificed. Okay. In Hebrews 10:14, it says, "For by one sacrifice, he, Jesus, has made perfect forever those who are being made holy."
So his sacrifice made us perfect, made us holy. Now, I don't know exactly which translation we're using. I think it's NIV, but I think if we went back, it doesn't matter if we went back to the original Greek here. I don't think it says in here that his sacrifice plus us following the rules, or his sacrifice plus us doing stuff, makes us perfect. Do you think that? Or do you think his sacrifice was enough?
I think that we still need to, his sacrifice was enough, but we also need to follow him and, you know, we don't need to go to the jail and stuff like that. Like, we need to all act right. So rules are a good thing, but.
I spent 4 years in jail. Is that bad?
I don't know.
You don't? All right, I'm just messing with you. So, yeah, I was a jail chaplain. Most of y'all know that, but just to clarify that, I was in there serving. Not serving time, but we have to be careful how we clarify that.
Don't serving, I? Nevertheless.
You should probably be
serving.
Careful what you say.
Yeah. I'm not perfect, so I'm just letting you know that. We have perfection because of Christ's sacrifice. And the way that he makes us perfect is, and you pointed that out earlier, Jacob, is that the rules don't change the inside of us. Only Christ can do that. And what you're talking about is, to summarize that, is really about giving us a new heart. And God is the only one who can do that, is to give us a new heart. Matter of fact, Psalm 51:10 says this, "Create in me a new heart, O God." That was the writer's prayer. That was David's prayer. God, just inside me. In Psalm 51, it talks about, you know, search me and find out if there's anything wrong, any of those imperfections, and make me perfect. And he recognized long before Christ was here that there was nothing we could do. You know, David had the law, and he recognized that even following the law, he had broke the law. He had murdered. He had committed covenant. He had coveted someone's neighbor. He had had adultery. He had broken three of the major ones. He had the top 10. If you're 3 out of 10... This is David. And he's saying, you know what? Nothing I can do except for you, God, making me a new heart. And Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," meaning if they have accepted his sacrifice, that they have believed in him, placed their faith in Jesus Christ, "then a new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here." And that new one is a perfect person. And that perfection, though, it takes place inside, isn't it? It's not really on the outside. Are we perfect now?
No.
No, right? It's inside of us. But we have to work that way out. How do people know that we've been changed on the inside? Back to what you said earlier, Noah.
By the way that you live and you let Jesus show through you.
Yeah. By following him, right? Because we are Christians, means Christ-like. I mean, we are supposed to be like little Christians. When people see my son, and he does certain things. First of all, he looks like me. Bless his heart. He acts like me in good and bad ways. And people recognize, they go, that's his son. In the same way, we who are Christians are supposed to look like our Heavenly Father, like our little brother Jesus. So we need to be able to do that. Now, is this something that that Christ is like, okay, I've done this. I've made perfection. And you guys are good. Or are we called to perfection? Jacob, talk to us about being called to perfection.
We are called to perfection in our lives. We obviously, on the outside, none of us are perfect, and we all make mistakes in our lives. And that's something that's going to happen. No matter what barriers we put up to protect that, you know, in society and our laws to try to make us perfect, we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be close. We're just going to aimlessly go for it if that's what we try to do. We are called to perfection. And actually, in Genesis 17:1, it does point that out. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless." So that pretty much points it out right there. I mean, that we have that perfection planted in us. It's planted in us from the moment we enter this earth to the moment we leave and go back, and That's what we live our lives off of. We have him in us, and without him, we would be nowhere. And with that perfection that's implanted in us, we're perfect in him on the inside, and we use his love and his faith and everything that he gives us in our lives. Even though we aren't perfect on the outside, we use that to make us better and shed more light on God and everything that he's done for us in our lives.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you talked about earlier, it's like our parents want us to follow rules so that one day we grow up and be, you know, good citizens and good workers and then eventually maybe good parents. It's that perpetual, that perpetuation of what was good and what was right to the next generation. And hopefully it's more right and more good the next time around. And we always, those of us who are parents, we say this a lot of things like, you know, I hope my kids don't make my mistakes. You know, I hope that they can avoid some of the pitfalls that I fell into. And it's all about the perfection, is that I hope that they can follow Christ better than I did. And we need to realize that the Bible calls us to perfection, not just in that passage, but in other passages, in Deuteronomy 18, Matthew 5, Philippians 3, 2 Corinthians 7, Timothy chapter 3. Over and over, the Bible is telling us, shoot for perfection. Go towards perfection in Christ. In Christ. In the Old Testament, shoot for perfection. Be like God. Here's the law to try to get you towards that direction and make you realize you're not going to be able to do it yourself. To just trust and have faith. And Abraham, you know, he talked about Abraham. He was called and said to be perfect and walk perfectly. And he's called the father of faith because he recognized he couldn't follow Christ. He couldn't follow God. He couldn't be perfect. You know, he tried to things his own way. God had promised him, you know, you will have children with your wife. And then what did he do? He went off and tried to make it his own, right? He ended up having a child with another woman trying to fulfill God's promises. He was imperfect. But God still says he is a God that is loving and forgiving. And he gave Abraham another chance, and Abraham became a man of faith. He realized, I can't do this by my own. God, you have got to do it for me. And in our Christian walk, we have Christ, and we now see we had that perfect person who walked on earth. We had that person who did no sin, who forgave, who even when he was persecuted unjustly, he submitted to that for the glorification of himself and for the glorification of us. And how we live that out is how we live out our perfection. Noah, talk to us about how perfection comes through Christ living with us. You've kind of talked about that a few times today.
In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live in the Son of God who lived me and gave himself for me. For example, like if you're working on a school project, it may look like a very large, intimidating project. But when you've got multiple people or one or more people helping you, it may not seem so small because everybody takes a part and everybody helps you move toward the goal of finishing the project. So
we each of us who have Christ in us come together, and I'm not perfect. Again, I'm just reiterating this fact. Noah, is that you are saying that we who are Christians, we all have that in our, we all have Christ in us, we all have this call to perfection, but if we work together, we can strive to reach that, to shoot for that goal?
Yes. Basically, everybody helps each other, and they all take a part, and then makes it so that the goal doesn't seem like it's so much harder to reach.
Because it does seem like a pretty big goal, right? Perfection.
Yeah.
Because when we talk about this, and I remember these conversations when we studied this in our small groups, and it's like, wow. I mean, that's a high goal. You feel like you'll never get there.
Yeah.
But we never will here on Earth. And that's the thing. We find that in the Bible it tells us that here on earth, as long as we still exist in this body, in this world that's fallen, it will never happen. But one day, we will be with Christ. And Paul tells us that we will receive a new body to go along with that new in us, inner self, and we will be made perfect. So my question to you today, as we talk about perfection, do you realize that you'll never be perfect? Have you been striving? Have you been working towards that? Maybe you've been like worried and doing things, and you're like, oh my gosh, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I get the next permission, I gotta get the next this, I gotta do the next that. Maybe you thought in your Christian walk, if I just came to church more, or gave more, or did more, or prayed more, or read more, or something else that's just something I can do to become quote unquote perfect for God. Well, here's the bad news, good news. Bad news is that you'll never be able to do enough. You'll never serve enough, never read enough, never give enough. But the good news is As we've said today, Christ already did it. Read us again. What was that verse again that says that Christ was the sacrifice? In Hebrews, for by one sacrifice, he, Jesus, made perfect forever all of us who believe. Christ made you perfect if you're willing to accept that gift. If you've never accepted Christ, today could be a great day. If you have accepted Christ, are you still trying to be perfect on your own? Give up. Give up. Let Christ do it through you. Turn yourself over to him and let him live through you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much. Thank you that you died and you gave the way for us to be made perfect, that one day we will be made whole and complete. That the world offers us shallow, imperfect goals, but God, you have a perfect goal, and that is to be with you in heaven. You've already made the way. For those of you who have never accepted Christ, would you pray a prayer like this? Dear God, I've been trying to be perfect on my own, but I am not perfect. But I accept that your Son was, and through him I can be. Today, I give up. I quit my own efforts and accept your free gift. By faith, I believe. In Jesus' name. For those of you who have accepted Christ before, maybe you need a prayer today of just laying down your life. Maybe you need to confess to God something like this. God, I've been still trying in my own flesh to be what you've already made me. Help me to accept your gift and help me to live. Let Christ live through me so that others can see you. And Heavenly Father, we just pray for all of those who are in this room right now, wherever they're at in their journey. You help them give up and give in to your free gift. It's in your name we pray. Amen.